Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about our government here in the United States, if our government says jump, how do we respond? Do we say how high? Is that the response that we give? Well, many give that response, and actually sometimes we should be definitely giving that response according to the Bible. If you think about it, God is up here, our government is here, and the people are here. So our government, God has established our government, God has sustained our government. So in most cases, we should pay attention to our government, honor our government, pray for our government, and so on. These are good and wholesome things to do. However, today though, we do come to an account here in the Old Testament. It is a true story where these men who were serving the king, they were important men in the kingdom, and yet when it came time to obey the command of the king, they disobeyed him, and the penalty was very, very severe. If they did not obey, they would be cast into a fiery furnace. So quite a difficult situation. I'm sure you're all familiar with the account, but I hope we can go over it in a way today that would be maybe more beneficial than how you've looked at it before. Let's do a little bit of previous history. So when we think about the nation of Israel, it was one nation, and then after Solomon, it became a divided nation with the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was more rebellious, so that kingdom ended up falling sooner. God sent many prophets. They never listened, and finally they fell to the Assyrians. And then the southern kingdom didn't learn anything either, because the southern kingdom of Judah, they should have looked at their brothers in the north, they should have repented, but for the most part they didn't. And finally, God raised up the Babylonians, who were the world power at that time, and sent them to the southern kingdom on three different occasions to finally conquer the southern kingdom. What happened in 605, that's when they gathered up a number of prominent youth there in the southern kingdom of Judah. These would be young men who were handsome, who were part of prominent families and so on, and brought them back to Babylon in order to serve under the king. It sounds like kind of an unusual situation, but why would they do that? Well, they could be helpful to the king in knowing how to govern over now the southern kingdom of Judah that was now under the king of Babylon, and also how to work with the people there in a way that would work out okay. So some of those men were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and also Daniel was in there too. Now, Daniel is not referenced at all in chapter 3, but of course he comes up in chapter 6 and also in other places, obviously, in the book of Daniel. So we're not going to deal with Daniel today. Our focus is on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Keep in mind as we come to the account now here in Daniel chapter 3, keep in mind that the king was Nebuchadnezzar, but because at that time, Babylon was what we might call the world power, so the king of the world power, he would have been the most powerful man in the entire world. And it wasn't where he had people he had to work with. What he said is what went. So when you're dealing with one man who has the most power in the whole world, that's a man that you normally are going to obey, or else it's not going to be a good thing. Keep that in mind as we go here. Let's get right into it. So in the first section here, the summary is worship the idol or burn. The Bible says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet. Thinking about what I said to the children, our ceiling here is about 25 feet. So imagine this image almost four times the height of our ceiling. Quite an image. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather all the important people in his kingdom to come to the dedication of the image. So all these people, they stood before the image, and the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace." That's what the herald said. So it was a very clear thing, very simple. You hear the music, you bow down, everything is fine. If you hear the music and you don't bow down, well, there's the furnace. Let's think about the image for a moment. So the image most likely was a Babylonian god called Marduk. So Marduk also went by the name Bel, and the word Bel means Lord. Oftentimes Marduk, he was depicted as a man. So that's what we have here. We have this depiction of a man 90 feet tall. Another key thing here is that Marduk is the god of Nebuchadnezzar. So he had kind of a soft spot for that particular god. And because he's the most powerful man in the world, when he says bow, you better bow. Also on the topic of burning here, that was a way that people were put to death back then, a form of capital punishment. So it wasn't so unusual that he said, you're going to be thrown into a furnace if you don't do what I say. Going on here in the text, we come to the topic now of standing for God. The Bible says, "Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image." Now, it doesn't tell us the exception here yet, but it's coming to it with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it says, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans," that's simply another name for the Babylonians. So certain Babylonians, they came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. You have to keep in mind what's going on here now. So the king has brought these young Jewish men to Babylon, and he has set some of them in prominent positions in the kingdom. So there is probably some great jealousy here that Babylonians are thinking, I should have that position, and yet these foreigners are holding that position. So they declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Try to imagine two powerful factors at work here. So imagine being in the situation, you're in the crowd, you've just heard what you're supposed to do, that when you hear the music, you're supposed to bow or else. Now maybe within the crowd, we don't know quite how big the crowd was, but these were all the leaders within the nation. They heard the command, and maybe, let's just say for example, there were 100 of them, and let's say, for example, maybe 70 of them really were into this and really worshiping this god of Marduk. So it was no problem for them to bow. But maybe a number of others, though, they're like, we don't worship this statue. That's ridiculous. But what happened, though, there was a lot of peer pressure. They're looking around, seeing so many others bow, that then they're bowing too. And then they're thinking, oh, that's right. If we don't bow, wow, there's the furnace. So there's all this pressure, peer pressure, and also great fear, which was moving them to go in that direction. What about us? What would we do? If we were standing there and we heard the command and we heard the music, what would we do? Maybe it comes down to this. What do we fear more? Do we fear God or peer pressure, or criticism, or suffering, or death? We know from the Bible we should all fear God and not fear the other things. But the problem is we're all sinful human beings, and we can't perfectly fear God, but may God help us to move more and more in that direction. I think about the famous book from some years ago now called Fox's Book of Martyrs. So it basically picks up around the time of the apostles and goes all the way through, I believe, sometime either in the 1800s or 1900s, about all these people who were put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, the book has a theme verse in the front, which is very fitting for all those people who gave their lives. And the verse is referencing Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And it says, "And they overcame him," talking about basically the devil and the forces of evil. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death." They did not love their life even to death. So they loved God. They loved their relationship with God more than they loved their very physical life. It's a very compelling book, but I see that, though, with these three men here, happened way before the book was written, but that was true for them, too. They're saying, we trust in God, we love God more than life itself. Going on here now, we come to great faith and courage, picking up in verse 13. "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage," probably no one disobeyed the king, but now they disobeyed him. "So in furious rage, he commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up?'" So it's almost like he's having a little bit of mercy here, because even though it's been reported that they did not bow, he's kind of double-checking with them, and really what he's going to do here is give them a second chance. "So then he said to them, 'Now if you are ready, when you hear every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace.'" So he's going to set the whole thing up again, have the music played, and they get a second chance. What a great thing. "But then he said to them," he said, "'and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?'" So what is he saying there? He's saying, "I'm the greatest man in the world. My God is the greatest God. And you guys better pay attention to me, because otherwise you have no chance at all. I don't care what God you trust in. You have no chance at all of not getting burned up in the fiery furnace." So he was very arrogant. He was very certain that that's how it was all going to come down. So then the Bible says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, if we are cast into the furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.'" So these men had such confidence in the Almighty God. It's a little bit like Abraham getting ready to put Isaac to death. And Abraham reasoned and said, "I know that God has made certain promises in connection with Isaac. Therefore, if I put him to death, it's a simple thing. I know God's going to raise him back to life again, because God has to keep the promises that he has made in connection with my son." So with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're like completely convinced that God can spare us and lets us also know that no matter how impossible the situation might seem, let's know that God is always able, but sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Think back to September 11th, 2001. Certainly there were people who were Christians who died on that particular day. Could God have spared them? He could have. God didn't. He brought them home to heaven for those who knew Jesus. So God is always able, though. So they expressed such great confidence, but they also said, whether he spares us or not, we're not going to do it. We're not going to bow down no matter what. So the question for us would be, what do we love more? Do we love life itself? Or do we love our great God who has made us, sustains us, saved us through Jesus, and promised us an awesome eternity. Tough stuff, but God wants us to think about that a little bit, I believe. Going on here now, we come to a section I call Fury, Heat, and Death. The Bible says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury." In other words, nobody spoke to the king like that. He was filled with fury. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. How hot is that? Let's put that in perspective. Once in a while, not too often, but once in a while, Kathy and I will have a frozen pizza. So we're like busy, don't have much time to eat. Oh, set the oven for 400 degrees, put the pizza in there for 10 minutes, and we have a meal. So once in a while, well, imagine heating the oven 7 times hotter than we normally heat it. Oh, let's make the oven at 2,800 degrees. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? So think about this idea with the furnace, 7 times hotter than normal. So super, super, super hot. And then it says, and he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Let's think about mighty men for a moment. Now we know that King David, he had his mighty men. It's amazing what the Bible says about some of these mighty men. We can only imagine maybe how physically big they were. Now, when you think about, for example, the competition of the strongest man in the world, one of the men that recently competed is 7 feet tall and weighs 440 pounds. Isn't that overwhelming to think about a person that size? We don't know on the size of these mighty men, but consider this, though, that the Bible mentions over in 2 Samuel chapter 23, it says that one of these mighty men killed 800 men at one time. Imagine being one person, you have 800 people coming at you, and you kill all 800 of them. These mighty men are truly mighty in unbelievable ways. So keep that in mind as I read here. The Bible says, because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those mighty men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these mighty men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. So just getting close to the furnace, these mighty men died, but they were close enough, though, that the other three men tumbled into the furnace. Let's go on to the next part here where we find God's protection. The Bible says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see 4 men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. Now, with the son of the gods, my best guess would be that that was the very son of God. That was the pre-incarnate Christ. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, so we can only speculate, but I think that's a pretty good guess. Then the Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Quite a change there for the king, isn't it? Calling them servants of the Most High God, even higher than his 90-foot God that he had made. So quite a change there very quickly with the king. Then the Bible says, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and all the leaders gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. And then it explains the details. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. Their clothes were not burned up in any way. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Think about that. You know how it is that if you get a little bit too close to heat, the hair on your arms and many things, they get singed so quickly, don't they? I mean, that's what happens with our hair. So here they are, though, in the furnace, heated 7 times hotter than normal, and none of their hair is singed. Their clothes are not burned up at all. They were thrown in bound, but yet right away they were unbound, and they're walking around, and then they don't even have any smell of smoke. Notice how thoroughly God spared them from that fire. What does that tell us? What is the much greater news even than what happened here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I believe God wants us to know that this is pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pointing to the fact that we are all poor, miserable sinners, and that we have no power over sin, death, and the devil, and that we deserve eternal punishment. And then it's pointing to who Jesus is, the very Son of God, and what he did to rescue us from eternal punishment, to rescue us from the power of sin, death, and the devil. If we reason it out, we might say, I know I've done wrong, so I deserve some kind of penalty for that in eternity. That would only be logical. But what God is saying, though, Jesus did a complete, thorough victory to the point where there is no penalty for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes in this life, we suffer some because of our sins. But in eternity, though, there is no suffering at all. Christ has paid the entire penalty. So it is a total rescue. Just like with these three men, it was a total rescue. It's pointing to the total rescue that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, at the end here, we come to the king's reaction. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants." Notice what he says now about the three men. They trusted in him, talking about in their God, in our God. They set aside the king's command, and they yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. And then the king went on, "Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. We don't know quite the timing here, but we could say that maybe even within a period of maybe only 10, 15 minutes, Nebuchadnezzar went from all this arrogance and pride and trust in his false god of being turned to see very rapidly that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is actually a much greater God than his God, and then even making the decree he did, saying, this is the God now that we're going to be looking to, in a sense, and anyone who goes against that God is in great trouble. Quite a turnaround. So God used these three men in order to highly influence the king. Is there some way that God wants to use us in order to highly influence government officials today? I'm not quite sure what the answer is, but God is calling us to live with faith and with courage, just like these men did. How could we summarize these three men? They trusted in God, they had their allegiance with God, they loved God, they weren't going to go against God no matter what. May God help us to also stand with God no matter what, and not fear the things of this world, but rightly fear only our great God and Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, since you have saved us through Jesus, let us fear no person, let us fear no thing in this world, and help us that we would stand with you, that we would stand upon your holy word no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.